Hey, welcome to We Need to Talk with Nick B. I'd like to thank Bracken's Firearms. For all your firearms and shooting needs, give them a call. 719-465-8320. I'd also like to thank 5280 Creative Company. Contact them for all your custom handmade items, cups, keychains, tote bags, and much, much more. Check them out at 5280creativeco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off. Also like to thank Kiss My Fist. They have the hardest hitting edibles on the planet. Go to Kiss My Fist, medco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off. Thank you, and now to the show. Welcome. It's just a Saturday night chat. Waiting for. Hey, Doc. How are you, bud?
Hey, how's it going?
Everybody calls you at one time, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, how's your day going?
Oh, not too bad. Got off of work a few hours ago. My cat chewed through my headphones again, so it might sound a little weird tonight.
Well, it sounds kind of good right now. It sounds okay. Hey, Bella.
How's it going, Bella?
I thought she was going to come up, but... Oh, okay, you're here, huh? Okay. Nah, we're just going to chit-chat. Nothing important. You're more than welcome to come up and give your view or talk about something.
Yeah, come on up.
Doc will fill you up with wisdom.
Nah, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. Did you ever find out any more on who's doing all those trolls? No voice, huh? Oh, well. I'm sorry to hear that. Hope you feel better.
Yeah. I recommend hot beverages.
Yeah, they've been reported, yeah. I think it's probably the same person, just copying a couple shows' names, but who knows. So anyways, Doc, I hadn't seen you this last week. I got three items in that you'll want.
Oh.
They're old. I just picked them up.
Well, that's fair. Was there a gun show this last week?
No. I went over to a guy's house, called me and wanted me to come look at these three items.
Gotcha.
You familiar with the 1873 trapdoor?
Yes.
A 4570?
You have one in 4570.
Yeah. It looks like it's never been shot. The wood is almost perfect.
Holy crap. That is like... Well, I mean, for collectors, that's a really, really good find.
Yep. And then I found a Springfield M1 Grand. I don't think it's ever been shot. I mean, it almost looks like brand new. It's a 30-06. Wow. Now this one you'll probably like. It's a FN 49, 8mm.
The rifle?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a rifle. Huh. It was part of the. It was made during the war, but this never seen wartime. It was in a stockade or whatever they call that, you know, for backup, but never seen before. Yeah. Brand new.
Wow.
Plus,
that's a really good find, too.
I'm letting it go for $2,000. They've got them on the internet for $24 at the low end. Hey, Lou Rock.
How's it going, Lou?
You guys are more than welcome to join. I know Bella's not feeling good, but anyways, yeah, if you get time, man. But I don't know if you're into those rifles anymore. I know you like the 32s.
Yeah, I mean, I can take a look at them, but I won't be at the spring show. A bunch of people at my job are going on vacation, so I'm going to miss the spring show.
Well, that's at the end of the month, right?
Yeah, it's at the end of the month.
Yeah. You ain't going to miss much there.
I kind of figured.
I would like to take these three out and shoot them just to see how they do.
Okay, just to let you know, with that trapdoor, do not use smokeless.
On that 4570?
Yeah, so the 4570 started out as a black powder round.
Right.
And that's what the trapdoors were. They cannot handle smokeless powder. You'll blow the gun up.
Yeah, I just figured I'd go find someone and get the right ammo.
Fair. Just make sure that that is black powder ammo, because if it is not, you are going to have a very bad and short day.
I'll make sure I go after work. I'll stop for an hour and shoot them after work. They've got that shooting range right down there by Fort Carson.
Yeah, Cheyenne Shooting Complex.
Yeah. You ever been there?
I have a few times.
Yeah. It's a nice little range. They just added a shotgun section.
Finally.
Yeah.
It was always weird doing the shotgun on the normal range and everybody giving me looks like I'm committing a sin.
Well, you were if it was a regular range.
The range instructors didn't tell me no.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't think they would. It's just the distance.
Yeah, I had to make sure that I was setting it out to a minimum of 21 feet.
Well, that's pretty, yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, also no birdshot.
I wonder why.
Apparently, birdshot bounces off the paper sometimes.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wonder why.
Ah. Clarification for anybody listening who is unaware.
Yeah. Don't have to worry about one of them ever shooting.
Yeah. I prefer shooting slugs, but that's just me.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Me too. What did you ever... You ever get that other shotgun out? That one that you got from me?
Take it to the range yet? No.
Let me know how it does. It should do pretty good.
If it's anything like the last SXP I owned, it should be phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So you didn't have to work late tonight, huh?
No, I was only there until like 6.
They still got you doing both stores?
Yep, for another week, and then they are keeping me at one of the locations.
Which one are you going to take? Or do you get a choice?
I'm not running any of the stores. I'm just an extra set of hands while they get their crap figured out.
Well, that'd be okay. At least you have one store, maybe less hours.
Yeah, I'll be at the location off of Tut.
Oh, there at Barnes, Tuts and Barnes?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. So, I seen a thing, and since you work in the food and the industry, pythons, they say, are going to be the next source of meat.
Pythons?
Yeah, it was on ABC News. I don't know, a couple nights ago.
That's pretty wild. The assumption would be crickets or something.
Then I'm going to die. Huh?
It's not that bad.
I couldn't imagine having a farm. I was talking to Kevin about this last night, but could you imagine a farm that all it had on it was snakes?
I could imagine it. Do I want to continue imagining it? No, I'm good.
Oh, man. I don't think I would, I wouldn't work there. I wouldn't even live in that city.
Gets a little, there's a weird fear of snakes for most people, so I really don't think python meat's gonna really take off the way they're expecting it to.
Well, they said it's a, I forget the exact words, but for the protein, it's a great source of protein.
They say everything's a great source of protein these days.
Yeah, but I guess they grow fast. I don't know what the average growth of a python, you know, for eating size would be, but I guess in the right climate, they grow fast.
And just make the farm in New York City. There you go. You solve the rat problem and you give the population lots of protein. Win-win.
Yeah. Right in the middle. Then it'll run free.
It might not be a good idea because then you can't have small dogs.
Well, most small dogs bark all day anyways.
But people in New York City love small dogs.
Well, yeah, they don't have no yard.
Pretty much.
I mean, most of those people all live in apartments and condos, and I think your suburbs have a lot of houses, but yeah. I just couldn't imagine eating it. I mean, I like rattlesnake, and I've had it as a sausage.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know if I could sit there and just eat like a fried snake.
That's fair.
Now maybe put it on a pizza, you know, crumble it up and put it on a pizza. That way you got all the other flavorings.
I don't know if python pizza is something that really would sell well. I mean, your average person really doesn't even like mixing mushrooms with beef for burgers, so.
Oh, man. I love mushrooms on my pizza. Sausage, mushroom, and pepperoni.
No, yeah, there you go. That's actually a pretty common one we sell.
Oh, yeah, I think it is. Most people eat it. But I like mushrooms anyways. I know the other one down here in the bottom hates them. She doesn't. Do what?
Have you had fried shiitake mushrooms?
Yeah, it's been a long time. In a real long time. I used to do a lot of stuffed mushrooms. Those big, oh shit, what the hell they called? The big ones? Portobellos?
Yeah.
Yeah. The little brown ones? Those are pretty good stuffed.
You know what you should try? If you take a cast iron skillet and fry portobello mushrooms in olive oil, it actually is scarily similar to taste and texture to steak.
With anything on it, or what?
No, you just salt and pepper to taste.
Just a fried portobello mushroom, huh?
Yeah. Hmm. Specifically use olive oil. It doesn't work with other types of oil.
Okay. I'll try and remember that. Because I got some regular mushrooms, but I don't have no portobellos in right now. I don't even know if they're in season right now.
My dad's trying to eat less meat, and that's one of the things he does is he fries up portobello mushrooms because they taste so close to meat.
Never thought of it that way. Never. I guess I could try it. I'll try it.
It's definitely worth trying. I was surprised when I tried it.
I mean, I've always had them stuffed, so I never, you know, you had the rice or whatever stuffing you had in them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to look. I'll check it out and try it. Because I got some of that I got everything except for the mushrooms. Got the olive oil and everything. I was going to make some strawberry cake today, but I haven't even been in the mood. I've been sick most of the weekend.
Yeah, hopefully you feel better soon.
I better. I have to go back to work Monday.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I know Bella's been sick all week, and she's been on vacation. I feel sorry for her. She can't even talk.
Nah, that's no bueno.
Yeah. At least she ain't at work, miserable. Losing pay and everything.
Where'd you go to vacation?
Who? Who? Who are you talking to?
Oh, Bella.
Oh, I don't think she went anywhere. I think she just took some time off. Just to have a week off. Oh, that's right. Spring break for her son. That's cool.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Hello, it's an alphabet.
Actually, ever taken a vacation before?
You've never taken a vacation?
No. I've been thinking about it like I've actually never taken a vacation.
Is it still snowing? No, ma'am. It's been actually pretty nice all day. It was a wet snow, so it's almost like it's all gone. Except for on the grass and the trees. But driving, you wouldn't even know it was snowed. So why haven't you ever taken a vacation?
I don't think to, and realistically, I think I've seen enough of the world to not want to go somewhere exotic.
Well, no, but hell, you could take a vacation to the Grand Canyon or Niagara Falls, or, I mean, maybe you've seen them, but at least you get out of town.
Yeah, that's true. Most of the time at work, I usually use my vacation time to take off for weddings and funerals.
Well, that's fair. Not the best way to spend your time off, but at least you get paid for it.
Yeah, some places. Other places, you got vacation time, but it's not paid.
Bella wants to know where you'd like to go.
Oh. Honestly, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's really nowhere that really speaks to me for I should go here.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a great place down by New Mexico called San Dias. I'll take you down there.
You know where that's fair.
Down by Albuquerque?
Yeah, I know where Albuquerque is.
It's a place called San Dias.
Okay.
Once we get there, you're on your own, though, because I'm going to be inside the whole time.
Why, is it really hot?
No, it's a casino.
Oh. Yeah, that's not going to work. I don't gamble.
I know, that's why. That's why I said, once we get down there, you're on your own.
Fair.
I mean, you can always go in the casino and sit down and get a free drink. Hey, that's the best friend there is. At least I'm getting him out of town.
Oh, that's fair.
I'd even give you some money to gamble on. That way it wouldn't be against your religion of your money.
Oh, no, that still would be against the, it's taking part in the gambling. That's why I can't even give people lucky numbers, because it's technically participation.
Yeah, but you told me you didn't practice anymore.
Yeah, I don't practice, but that doesn't mean that I do all the forbidden stuff.
Oh, shit. Well, I won't tell you what's on the other end of my phone here, because I got a whole bunch of horse races I just bet on. They're not in this country. Does that count?
Again, if it's participation, it counts.
Doc, we got to change your mind. You're gonna have to change your religion. I don't know what religion allows gambling, but I'm sure there's one of them. Christians.
Probably.
Huh?
Probably.
I like giving you shit over it. I knew you, what you'd say anyways.
Fair enough.
Hell, I don't even want to hear that. I know what you do. I know you gamble.
No.
You lose anyways? Yeah. I didn't do too good today yet, neither. I'm down about $15, which ain't much. It's just, I hate losing. Anyways.
Another reason why I stay away from gambling is I feel like I might have used up all the luck in my life previously.
Yeah. So you don't even play lottery tickets or scratch cards or anything, or?
Nope.
I didn't know if that was considered gambling or not, since it kind of went to the state, you know, for park and rec and stuff like that.
It depends on which rabbi you ask. Some would not consider it gambling. Some would consider it gambling.
I know when I go play bingo, they got those pool tickets. And I don't know. That's why I was wondering. Because always they'll, at those bingo halls, you ever seen those pool tickets where you had to pull all four lines? And
I have not.
I'll have to show you one. But, yeah, I don't know if I consider that gambling. I always consider that more of a donation. Because usually it goes to, you know, some type of organization or something, you know, that takes the profits.
Suppose it's a matter of perspective in that case.
Well, it's like our lottery tickets here, you know, that all goes to the state wildlife department. As far as the fish and game department.
Yeah. However, the Powerball and Mega Millions definitely do not. Those are the ones everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, those are, I guess, a little different. I don't know. Hell, I don't even know where that money goes.
To the IRS's pocket?
Oh, probably. I wouldn't doubt that one bit.
What was that? The most recent winner of, like, I think $1 billion from the lottery, the IRS took 627 million of it.
They took 600 and how many? 600 out of a billion?
Yeah, like, they took more than half.
Yeah, but you know what? Give me 400 million. I think I'd be okay.
Oh, yeah. But it's still the principle of the IRS taking more than half. Like, that's just ridiculous.
I think I would take the 20-year payout, though. I don't think I'd take the whole lump sum. Don't they still offer the 20-year payout?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I'm not too familiar with how the lottery works.
They used to offer a 20-year. You know, you get paid for 20 years, so much a year.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to take that if I won any big amount like that. That way every year, if you spent all that money, at least you know you got another check coming next year.
Oh, that's fair. Dog, what are you doing? No, don't lick me. Hold on.
What, you got a dog?
Yeah, the dog just jumped on me.
Well, he's probably smaller than a cat.
Actually, she's a little bigger than the cat, but not, like, massively bigger. She's a smaller end of the medium scale. Okay. Like a Border Collie Australian Shepherd mix.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that dog.
No, I'll send you a picture.
I've seen your cat, but not your dog. Probably your roommate's. Yep. Is it your roommate's dog?
Yeah, she's my roommate's.
Yeah.
She's in my room right now because she wants to get away from the cats because they do beat her up sometimes.
Yeah, I bet they do. I bet they do. I never got into cats, so. Never did. Hey, welcome back, Luke. Well,
I wanted a dog, but we already had two cats paid for because of our previous roommate. So it's like instead of paying another $250 on top of buying a dog, I can just get a cat for free. And because it's already paid for the rent, not have to worry about that.
Well, that's okay. You already paid the deposit because of the other animals?
Yeah. Because when we first moved in here, there were two roommates, and one of them had two cats. They left, so my roommate got a cat, and it was like, well, I wanted a dog, but I'll take a cat if I don't have to pay, and I didn't have to pay, so I have a cat. A cat who acts like a dog.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know my dog is a pain in the ass. Every time I get on the phone, he wants to go out.
He's just like, yeah.
But he gets a treat every time he goes out, you know, if he goes and does his thing. So he thinks, I don't know. When I'm on the phone, it's time to go out.
How old is your dog?
14 years.
No. What kind of dog?
Huh?
What kind of dog?
He's a Rottweiler lab mixture. He's got the He's got the Rottweiler body, but he's got the lab. You know, the lab face or head or whatever you'd call. You got one that's about 10, a Rottweiler?
Talk.
Welcome, Stephen Bailey. Yeah, I don't. I think once this one goes, oh, I don't know if I'll get another one. I say that now, but first time I see a little puppy, then I'll change my mind.
Yeah. That usually happens to a lot of people.
Well, you know, I don't know. They're good company sometimes. They let people know when they're. You know, they let you know when people are around or, you know, they get this old and it's just hard to, I don't know, harder to keep up with as far as their health.
Yeah.
That's okay. Like I said, we'll see what happens.
Dog, what?
I think they had, 7 years for every year is a dog's life.
Yeah, they say 1 human year is equivalent of 7 dog years.
So what's 7 times 14? Hell, I don't know. 90 years old? Pretty close.
Some live for a really long time. Like, they get pretty close to 20 sometimes.
Oh, shit, man, that'd be, 140 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to live that long.
You and me both.
I'd like to live to 101. That's enough. That way I could say I did 100 and that'd be okay. Hell, with technology now, they'll make you live to 110.
Don't tell me that. I don't want to live anywhere near that long.
Why?
So what?
Why?
I've experienced more life than a lot of people get to, and I feel like there's only so much somebody can experience before it gets repetitive and kind of boring.
Well, that's where you have to find new hobbies. You know, I don't know what out there that you haven't done, but shit, just find some new hobbies and... You like woodworking?
I used to be a carpenter.
Okay, you don't like that no more, huh?
It wasn't bad. It's just not really my thing. I did that for almost 12 years.
Hmm. Well, you could always be a gunsmith. You enjoy guns.
Well, yeah, I enjoy using guns for practice, and I think the mechanics are pretty cool, but I don't think I could do that professionally.
Why? It ain't that hard, especially those older ones.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kind of a niche market.
I don't know. I'm sure there's something out there that you'd enjoy doing.
Oh, there's plenty I enjoy doing, but, you know, anything in excess is bad. Quite literally anything.
Well, was there anything you wanted to discuss tonight? Anything on your mind?
Well, I don't really have anything in particular, but Easter is coming up, right?
Well, you got St. Paddy's Day tomorrow, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about St. Paddy's Day.
And then I think the end of the month, during the Colorado Springs show, is Easter weekend, that Sunday.
Yeah, that's why Steve won't be there, because he always takes Easter off.
Well, I don't know why they're doing a show on Easter weekend.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. Like, I get that they want a schedule with some consistency, but Easter, well, that seems like, that's one of the big holidays for the Christians.
Well, yeah, but I just, you know, his excuse to me was that Easter changes every year. So when he scheduled it, I guess he didn't look at a calendar.
I mean, it does change every year, but realistically.
Well, all he had to do was look at a calendar and he would have seen that. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be a good weekend. Not for that kind of show. Maybe Saturday. I don't know. But I don't see Sunday being busy at all. Everybody will be busy. I mean, you know, you wake up, the kids will be looking for eggs and everything. And you got church. And I don't know. I don't blame Steve for not going. You there, Doc?
Mic check?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
Thought I lost you for a few.
I don't know. Podbean gets a little weird sometimes.
Well, they're supposed to be doing some big upgrade, but I don't know, you know, when and how it's going to affect everything. I think they've been working on it for a week, someone had said.
Gotcha. You think the White House is going to do an egg hunt?
They do every year, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, they normally do, but they also normally don't have the current sitting president in the White House, so...
Yeah.
I'm curious how that's going to go.
Yeah, he did one last year, because I remember the bunny had to take him and show him which way to go.
Yeah. But I don't know if you notice his speeches are getting a little worse year over year, so I'm kind of curious what his next speech is going to be if he does one on Easter again.
Oh, I'm sure he will. But yeah, it's hard to say what it'll be about. It'd be about Christmas as far as he knows.
I feel bad for the man. I really do.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know, I don't know why they let him do it. As far as his own family and, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't even know what to say about it. He doesn't seem to have his own agenda anymore.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is just kind of weird. Honestly, it kind of comes off as he was a last-ditch effort to win the nomination because everybody liked Obama so much, but Obama can't run again.
Well, you know, a lot of people say Obama's running it anyways, but I don't know if I believe that either.
Yeah, that sounds too much into the conspiracy territory. Well, like, if they were smart, what they'd do is they would have pulled him for this primary and put Michelle Obama in.
She may win it if she would run.
Oh, I'm pretty sure she would win if she ran.
I don't know. I may vote for her if I had a chance. But, you know, the Democrats make my business go anyways. Whenever there's Democrats in the office, I do better. It's because they always want to take that item away, you know.
I can't remember which vendor said it, but he said Obama was the best salesman for him he's ever had.
Oh, he was. He helped our industry so much that, yeah, those were good years as far as for us. Maybe not for the country,
I believe
or
it.
The way everybody else wants it, but, you know, I guess it just depends on how you make your money.
Well, you know, much like COVID and toilet paper, the panic buying is real in every industry, and whenever you get a Democratic leader in a really high position like the presidency, everybody's going to panic buy guns and ammo.
Well, they do. And they're buying it now because of our governor here in Colorado. You know, he's trying to get rid of all the semi-automatic rifles. What's bad is...
Oh.
Huh?
Nope, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's bad, though, is you know what the Ruger 10/22 is, right? That little 22 rifle.
Yeah.
It's a semi-auto. And that would include those. So you couldn't even have a semi-automatic 22.
Did they update the bill? Because when I read the bill, it didn't specify rifle. It just said semi-automatic.
Well, as far as I know, it was strictly the rifles.
Okay.
I mean, hell.
I read it a little bit ago, so they might have changed it to just rifles from all the backlash.
I don't know. I'll have to look at the new one that they're trying to get through, because if they got rid of the pistols, that'd be everything except for a single-action revolver.
Yeah, because double actions are considered technically semi-automatic.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, the only thing you'd be able to sell would be a single-shot rifle or a single-shot revolver.
Yeah, pump action would still be legal, and lever action.
Yeah, those would be legal because they pretty much can only shoot one at a time.
Yeah, and they don't...
of the hand, you know, to reload it. I don't know. I'll look it up later and double check, but as far as I knew, it was rifles only. Because they won't get rid of those, the AR-15s and the AK-47.
It could also potentially be like a different bill, because they try to pass so many damn bills in this state to restrict firearms, I can't even keep up with it.
Yeah, they tried this, 2 years ago, and it was denied, or turned down.
Yeah, they tried it last year, too.
Was it last year?
Yeah, last year, 2 years. They do it once a year.
Yeah. I don't know. They got enough people in there now, though, that they could probably win. If they get enough Democrats.
Well, you know, you wear the people down enough and, you know, just keep hitting them year after year after year. It's like accuracy by volume, you know. Try to pass 25 at once. Every single year, eventually one's going to get through.
Well, yeah, they got that 3-day waiting law now, so that's the one last year they got through.
Oh, that one was a little different. The governor just signed that into being with no voting, nothing. He just signed four laws into being.
Yeah, that's, and you know, I could see maybe a first time buyer having to wait 3 days. But you know,
yeah,
a person that has a concealed weapons permit or has bought, you know, 100 guns or whatever, why should they have to wait? I mean, I know there's a lot of people that don't like guns and there's a lot of people that are against them, but I mean, if you already have a gun, you're going to go do something. You ain't going to go buy another one.
Okay, so my roommate and I actually looked this up because the reason they gave for the 3-day wait is to reduce heat of the moment or heat of passion crimes, where the example they used is if a guy walks in on his wife cheating with another man, he can't go to the gun store, buy a gun, and then shoot his wife in the face. Well, sounds reasonable.
If he has a gun, what's going to stop him then? If he already has one.
So that's the thing, is they're saying people who don't have guns, so they specifically buy a gun to go shoot their wives in the face because they were caught cheating on them.
I could see that.
Like I said, this is just the example they used.
I could see that. That'd be like a first-time buyer.
Yeah.
A first-time buyer should have to wait.
Here's the part that I found most interesting. Both my roommate and I spent several weeks trying to find a case where that has happened, where they acquired the gun legally, went home, and then shot their wife in the face. You know how many we found after several weeks of searching?
Maybe 2.
0.
Really?
Every case where the person went out, got a gun, and shot someone in the face for the passion crime, right? They either A, already had a gun, or B, got it on the black market.
Well, that's what I was going to say next. I mean, even here in Colorado Springs, you can go right downtown and you can find a gun on the street.
Yeah, it's actually scary how easy it is.
Yeah,
it is actually, isn't it? How scary it is to be able to buy a gun off the streets, and even those new modified ones, the plastic guns. They don't even have to have the serial numbers to register them. And you can just buy these plastic guns. You can flip out some of the parts on the metal one or that plastic one, and boom, you're good to go. You can rock it practically anywhere. The scary thing is, yeah, there you go, ADMF ghost guns. Yep. So the scary thing, too, is they're actually trying to – I don't know if y'all saw this, but I saw this documentary where they're trying to make guns – undetectable by metal detectors by making them all plastic.
Well, they got that power now, but I'm sure there's a way they could do it, but your firing components would have to, well, right now are all metal.
Mm-hmm.
The heat.
You could do ceramic, but it'd have to be disposable. You'll get one shot.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to do like a one shot thing, where it slides out, and then you can just load a preloaded, I don't know what you call it. I forgot what they call that thing, the slide back in.
The chamber.
I guess you could call it, and then it's good to go to shoot another round, but it'd be virtually undetectable and scary. But I tell people, you know, the problem is not guns,
nope.
You know, when it comes to gun laws, the problem is criminals. So I don't care how many laws you put in May, it's never going to stop a criminal from being a criminal. They're a criminal because they break the law. They have no moral standards or moral obligations to follow the laws, or no moral standings on laws, because they don't care. They're criminals and they're repeat offenders, and they're going to keep doing it over and over and over and over. And I will say this, there are crimes of passion where, you know, you have people who commit murder that, you know, they're not murderers, they're not serial killers. They just lose their mind at the heat of the moment, and they kill somebody. And there's been documentaries on this where these people are in prison serving time, and they have full remorse and regret what they did. And they become very religious. They're very remorseful. They write letters to the family members saying that they're sorry what they did. They weren't in the right state of mind, and they are willing to serve their time, or however long necessary that they can before they get probation, whatever, you know. And those people, you know, I'm glad they realized what they did was wrong. You know, they're willing to change and stuff. You know, they're willing to admit they did something wrong and change and be better citizens and better productive people of the country when they get out and they change for the better. But the other half that are in there, they're just repeat offenders and they're just terrible people and they don't deserve to be outside bars.
I agree.
Because they're going to keep repeating because they don't care. Those are the ones that do not care for the laws and they don't care about being a law-abiding citizen. Those are the people that make guns. And I hate to use the word weapon because a gun is not a weapon. I was raised and told a gun is a tool to either A, protect you from bad people or from animals, or to help feed you. It's a tool. A weapon is more of a derogatory term used for a gun, for a negative. Yeah, same as a hammer. That's right, ADMF. It's a hammer is a hammer until it becomes a weapon. You know, until somebody uses it as a weapon. It's not made for evil. There's no evil purposes behind it. It's just the person who's holding it. You cannot blame a gun. You blame the person.
Right, right. Now, when you said that you did a, you seen it, how many of those people that did the passionate crime, did it give the age, like under 25,
so
25 to 30 or whatever?
So it was roughly between the ages of, they did it between 18, because I know there's some that are younger, but they did it from the age, between the age of 18, and they did it all the way to, I believe it was 50. They did that range number. And in between, and if you want to dissect it more like they did, they said between the people that were more remorseful, what they did were the younger people.
Really?
We had, huh. For some strange reason, they said it was, well, I don't want to say younger. It was like maybe like in the middle.
Yeah. Because I wondered, you know, like I could see, you know, an 18-year-old that's been with the girl for 4 or 5 years since high school, mm-hmm. you know, and that was his only love, you know. Then you got people yeah. like me that have been divorced 4 times, and it's like, bye. You know, I won't. I'll have to look at what's he writing there. 19. Annaly by Rifles.
Oh, ADMF got some good statistics there. That's true. Oh. Even bare hand, Doc says, even bare hands beats out guns. Most gun deaths are suicide. Yeah, you got a point there, Doc. You got a valid point there.
So you can't look at most statistic sites to get the true number for gun deaths for homicide. You have to specifically look for homicide gun deaths, because if you just look up gun deaths, it's going to include suicides, which is going to massively inflate the numbers, and most people don't realize that.
Right.
And unfortunately, the majority of suicides are young men who get heartbroken and military veterans.
Mm-hmm. And that's all. Through guns or just total suicides?
Just in general. Veterans are more likely to use a gun.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say hanging or something, you know. But I was thinking that would be...
I don't want to use that terminology. That one is not as prevalent as most people would think. The most common forms are usually gunshot, and on top of that, it has... One, the highest success rate per attempt, and two, most people who are not veterans, they're the ones more likely to mess it up because there's a certain natural flinch that a lot of people have, so they'll just shoot themselves somewhere that permanently disfigures them but doesn't actually kill them. However, you're still talking an 85% success rate, which is really...
Very high. It's,
but that is the most preferred method by people who are serious because it has such a high success rate.
Yeah, it's quite disturbing. Like, you know, once you get into like the cause or the reason why these people commit suicide, and some of them are like the most like, I don't want to sound, mean to sound ugly, but some of it sounds petty. Like really like weird random stuff like why would you kill yourself with that? It's like, come on, man. come on, girl, you know, buck up, you know, you're not the only person that happens to, you know, there's, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? It's just right. Something right. Like simple.
That you so. Can...
Go ahead, Doc.
There was suicide using a hammer recently. Yeah.
So one thing that I think a lot of people forget is society has become soft. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody laughed when people started saying words are actual violence. But if you really think about it, the people who say things like that, they have never dealt with hardship in their life. So when you say mean words to them, that is literally the most pain they have ever felt in their entire life. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? Violence. And on one hand, that's not entirely their fault that they were raised so soft. But on the other hand, that's our fault for letting society get this soft, for falling asleep at the wheel and letting this kind of thing happen.
For real, for real. I mean, like, I remember growing up, you know, we went by a couple of things. You know, we went by sticks and stones may break my bones, but words would never hurt me.
Yep, I remember
we
that.
Used the phrase. And nowadays, it's really frowned upon when somebody says it. But back in, like, the 80s and 90s, when we used the word or the phrase, go kill yourself, we're not really actually telling people to go kill yourself. Right. We're using that to tell people, go piss off, leave me alone, go away.
Right.
That's how that phrase was used in the 80s and 90s. And apparently the 2000s, people were taking it literally and were literally killing themselves. Instead of, you know, pissing off, going away, leave the person alone. You know, it was never a term or a phrase used to actually tell someone to actually go and end their life. I was never heard that phrase used before in a term or derogatory term for someone to actually go kill themselves. Like I said, it was just used very loosely, like slang, to tell someone to go piss off, leave me alone.
Oh, no, we used to, back in the 80s, we had a lot of sayings that,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wouldn't even say them nowadays because you'd be reported in
for real
or something, you know.
Terroristic threats is one of the main things they say. Oh, that's a terroristic threat.
Yeah.
If you say something like that, I'm like, no, okay, that's not what I meant to buy, but okay. I was like, I'm sorry, whatever, you know, and you stain a person's life and ruin their careers for someone throwing a tantrum and not understanding what they're actually meaning or what they're saying. Things get lost in translation. And like, I believe it was Doc was saying, you know, the generation's gotten so soft. And I do blame their parents because if you really take a look at it, their parents were the generation that were saying, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to say. If I can do it, I can do it.
Right. I agree.
Yeah, but, you know, again, there's a burden of responsibility on all of us as a whole in society. Totally like, right. It's to just point and blame, and sure, they might carry most of the blame, but at the end of the day, why were they like that? That's because their parents failed them. As a society, we just keep failing the next generation and the next generation, and it snowballs, it gets worse.
Right, it's gotten ridiculous. I don't know if y'all noticed this trend, but I've noticed this trend in the young generation that they expect every damn thing in their hand. I gotta admit, I'm a little bad with certain things. You know, I expect certain things to be my hand, but not everything. You know, I'm learning to break that. I'm learning to be more independent, you know, being adult, you know. Growing up as somebody who was spoiled, you know, like, I get that, you know, I was spoiled, you know, and things were put in my hand. You can say silver spoon in your mouth, whatever, but not really. But I mean, this generation is beyond that. They have a platinum spoon in their mouth. You know, they skip the silver spoon. They skip the gold spoon. They have a platinum spoon in their mouth, and they expect people to weigh on them hand and foot when they ask for something. And I was like, I am sorry, but that is not how it works. And to see these YouTube videos with these young generation crying because they're working a 9-to-5 job or 7-to-4 or you know, a normal working shift. You know, they're crying. They're like, well, I don't have enough time when I get out of work. By the time I get out, I'm eating dinner. when I'm done eating dinner, I'm getting my clothes ready for work the next day, and I don't have time to do anything. It's like, well, welcome to the rat race, you know? This is what your parents had to deal with for their whole life. I mean, and back then it was worse because, you know, we weren't getting paid as much back then as we are now. But yes, I know the economy, the economy changed, but I mean.
So I got a question for you, kind of on long. I went to a city council meeting here in Colorado Springs, and there's a group of people there that says that we should be involved with the kids today because of youth violence. Do you agree with that or not?
Oh, I 100% agree with that. You know, the parents should be involved. They should know what's going on in their children's lives.
Like me.
Like the citizens. Yeah, oh, okay.
The community should be involved.
There's a gray line. Well, I don't want to say gray line. I don't like saying that word. I don't like saying gray. It's not a gray line. I think there's a certain point to that where we should be involved. And there's a point that we shouldn't because, I mean, you know, it's not our business, you know, right? You know, I get everybody would agree to that. You know, if something's going on between two different people, it's not my business. But I would say if it's getting to a point where there's going to be violence and stuff, I think a crowd of people should turn around and be like, hey, you know, stop the violence or stop these people from acting out violently to the point where they either pull a gun or pull a knife out. I mean, we should be more aware of our surroundings. I was always taught to be aware of my surroundings. You know, I guess you could say I was trained when I walk into a building, it doesn't matter if it's a Walmart, McDonald's, whatever. I mean, it could be whatever. I was trained as a kid. You know, when I walk in, find all the exits, find all the windows, find all the restrooms, look for emergency exits, you know, and watch people's hands and what's in their hands, read their faces, how their behavior is. If someone's aggressive, keep my eye on that person because, I mean, I never know when they're going to flip and do something stupid. But, you know, always watch your back. Always pay attention to your surroundings.
Go ahead, Doc.
Are you in your late 20s or early 30s?
I am in my mid-30s.
Okay. Mid-30s, okay. Yeah, that makes sense because your parents were boomers, weren't they?
Yeah. My dad was military.
See, my problem with that is I'm 57 years old. I've raised my kids. I got grandkids now. Why should I have to take on a responsibility for the neighborhood kids? I mean, I'm not
saying, can I be brief?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I just, you know, I feel like the older people, we've done our job. We've raised our kids. We've, you know, sent them to school or, you know, they're not with us, you know, like that no more. So why should, you know, that's what I told them at the city council. Why should I have to put my time into the kids that are out here today causing hell? Let the parents take care of it. Let the parents be responsible for what these kids do.
Can I be brutally honest on the answer?
Yeah, that's just, yeah.
And also a controversial take as well. The reason they want you to is because they don't know how to fix it because they had lives that were too soft. So they don't understand that a certain hard edge needs to be applied when you're bringing up children. Like millennials, like Enigma and myself, we're really guilty of this as a group, as a whole, not Enigma or myself specifically or any one individual, but as a whole unit, because we were too soft with our kids. And because we were too soft with our kids, they grew up too soft, not understanding certain concepts. Like, for example, personally, I feel like one of the reasons why we have so many problems in society today is because we're told that being masculine or being a man is very, very bad because there's too much aggression, too much of all this stuff. But, you know, I was even talking to some of the other vendors, the older vendors at the show. It's like they bring up really solid points where, you know, you grow up as a boy
back in the 40s to, say, the 70s, and you get into a disagreement with your friend, you fist fight it out, nobody gets seriously hurt, and you're back to being friends after.
Oh, yeah.
These days, you have to hold it in because it's bad to do that. It's horrible.
In the 80s and 90s, we were doing that. I mean, I know I got into, like, so many fights with my friends. You know, we duked it out. You know, we shook the dust off our shoes, pants, shirt, whatever. We shook hands. And, you know, we're still friends, even to this day. Even, like, some of my bullies I had in middle school and high school, I had them as grown men. I mean, like, I didn't recognize them at first in the middle of a bar, crying and hugging me and asking me for forgiveness. And to this day, we're friends. I forgave them. They forgave me. We're friends. And it's like, you know, if my generation and the generations before me can settle our differences, work out our differences, and learn to be better productive citizens and not kill each other. So what is wrong with our young generation that they think it's okay to bring a gun to school or a knife or use a pencil or pen or scissors and kill people? Like, I don't get where this mentality comes from.
Here's the thing, though. It started in the 80s, continued in the 90s, and really exploded in the 2000s with that kind of mentality. So what ends up happening is all these kids are bottling up their emotional state. They don't have a healthy outlet, so they just break. They snap.
Right, yeah.
So most of schools.
What's a healthy outfit?
Well, it's like, you know, you throw hands with your friends. Like, let's be honest here. I personally, this is the most controversial take I have on this. I feel like a lot of society's problems could be solved if everybody got punched in the face and punched people in the face more frequently, because it gets out your aggression. As long as people are aware of, you know, that, I don't know how well it would translate with the youth today with all the pent up stuff they have, but, like, it's because they're holding on to aggression. They don't have an outlet for the aggression until they finally snap. So the real question is,
could that be because there's not enough sports activities now?
I wouldn't even say it's...
I wouldn't say that. The problem is that there's two issues. Issue number one, if you look at the school shootings, I guarantee you 99.99% of the reason why these school shootings occur is because these kids are getting tortured day in and day out of school by their bullies. And even on social media, that their brain is, they're getting so psychological mind fucked by this that they lose their brain, their mind, and they act out aggressively. And I guarantee you, this group, they have reached out to their peers, they've reached out to teachers or adults, and they're not getting help. So their last act of freeing themselves from this torture is that they go and kill the people or their aggressors, their bullies, and people who did them wrong or who they felt did them wrong and stuff. They go and shoot, because if you think about it, they're not really shooting everybody in the school. They're specifically targeting people. Why are they targeting these people? What did these people or these kids do to them that they were targeted? And I say that because, you know, look at,
you can go all the way back,
look at, right. I mean, they were those specific individuals that were shot and killed were targeted. I mean, there was video showing that these gunmen were walking past other kids, weren't even shooting at them, much less looking at them. Yeah. They didn't care.
Get out in the parking lot. Get out of here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
Hell, like, I had, you know, from my experience with school shooting, you know, at my high school, there was five people that were in the parking lot across the street from the school. They were about to walk into the school and shoot up the school during second lunch shift. One of the guys decided, I'm not going to do this. This is crazy. This is insane. So he texted his friend to text everybody, get the hell out of school. These guys are coming in. And he ratted out the other four people that were there. Even though he still got in trouble because he was still, you know, guilty by association. He was still with them when they caught him.
Right.
You know, he was the only one that snapped out of it and said, you know, this is wrong. You know, they don't deserve this. I mean, we get picked on and bullied, but who's to say, or how do we say that they have the right to die? And, you know, so, and I guarantee you, I promise you, like, as soon as everybody started getting those text messages at school cleared out, there was probably maybe like 10, maybe 15 kids left in the school. Hell, even some of the teachers left campus. And the school themselves, they were calling everybody, making sure everybody was okay and stuff. And everybody was fine. I mean, the cops were there. They arrested those individuals. And everybody was fine. They got to account for everybody. The teachers who left the school, they got in trouble or somewhat trouble for leaving. The kids who left, they somewhat got in trouble. But like, we didn't care. Like, somebody's coming here. I'm leaving by. I'm leaving. Going out the back.
Yeah, you ain't going to see me all day.
Yeah.
Something else to consider is narcissism is a big cause of that kind of thing, too, for the violence. Because we're raising all of our kids to have this mentality that they are the absolute greatest. They are the shit. They are the best thing since sliced bread and the invention of the wheel. And that's not how it actually is. But yeah, they don't know them. So there's a lot of narcissistic behavior.
And the other half, like I was saying, the other half of the kids that are doing the school shooting is because they're actually are bad people. They're bad kids. They're just the outcasts, the ones that are psychos. Clearly, you can tell they're outcasts of school because of their behavior. And, you know, the way they dress, the way they act, and, you know, the way they treat people. And then they go around and do that school shooting crap. There's a pattern with these school shootings. You know, if people would address the issue, especially the big one, the kids that are getting bullied, you know, if the parents or the adults would listen and learn to defuse the situation, it would not escalate that high, period. Period. I mean, I've done peer mediation when I was in middle school and high school, and that shit helped. You know, we talked our differences out, you know. Right. You know, my bully and I, we sat there and talked, like, what's going on? Like, why are you picking on him? Found out one of them was his parents were going through a nasty divorce. He was in the middle of the divorce, and he was jealous that me and the three or four other guys that he was picking on, we had a close family, close-knit family. He was just jealous of that and gave us shit for it. I was like, okay, dude, well, I forgive you. You didn't have to be like that. You know, you could have said something, you know, that you were going through that shit. I'm sorry you're going through that, but, you know, that doesn't give you the right to beat on people and scare people, you know, on campus. You know, that's crazy. And, you know, we forget, and like I said, we're friends to this day. I still talk to the dude every so often. And I hear the guy, he randomly apologized to me out of nowhere. I'm like, nah, dude, it's okay. And you already apologized. It's all good, man. But I mean, the fact that we had someone to talk to compared to these kids nowadays, I mean, like, I work for a school district, and I can tell you from what I've seen, they do have those programs. Peer mediation programs, and they do have counseling. I just don't think these kids go for this stuff like they used to do back in my days, because I guess you can say, like, because of social media, these kids get labeled as weak or like the non-dominant kid, or not the dominant kid or popular kid if they go and speak to somebody about their issues. You know, that's wrong. I mean, these kids shouldn't be dogging on other kids for seeking help and getting help. They should be applauding them and, you know, being happy for them. You know, instead we have this generation who just degrades each other left and right for every little thing, for kicks, for what, videos, for likes, for followers. It's like, come on. It's all, grow up. It's like, I didn't have to deal with that crap. I mean, my generation started that, the whole video recording, posting things on YouTube, but it was never about belittling people or anything. It was about putting something cool out there. It was like, hey, I did this skateboard trick, or hey, I did this BMX trip. Right. It was never about belittling people and being cancel culture and bullies and stuff like nowadays generation is.
I bet I'd be hard in the schools now. I don't know if I'd want to go to school nowadays. It would be hard.
Yeah, it would definitely suck, especially with all the rules and regulations. One of my cousins, actually, well, technically second cousin, but he got suspended because he got beat up in school because he participated, because he didn't run away when they started punching him. And it's like, are you
such bullshit? That is such bullshit. See, this is why these kids are afraid to stand up for themselves and afraid to do anything, because they know they're going to get punished, whether they're the victim or the aggressor. and this crap about punishing the victim, this crap needs to end. Because like back, like I gotta admit, when I was in middle school and high school, you know, yeah, I used to get, I didn't get in fights all the time, but I got in fights here and there, you know, just like, you know, your typical normal middle school kid, middle school guy and high school guy. High school, I never got in fights in. It was just middle school, really. But I mean, you know, our thing was that, you know, if we got in a fight, they separated us. One person talked to the principal, the other one talked to the assistant, or if we had two assistant principals, we talked to the assistant principals before we got to the principal. They heard both of our stories, figured out who was wrong, who was the aggressor and who was the victim. Now, the aggressor got punished once they figured out who was the aggressor or the suspect, the person who was really doing the bad crap. And the victim, they just told them, oh yeah, we suspended him, but they really didn't suspend us or give us ISS or detention. They just let us go. They just told the bully they gave us detention or ISS just to shut them up and, you know, so they won't retaliate against that person again and stuff. But they never really punished, rarely. I mean, I got sent to detention one time for defending myself because, I gotta admit, I really did knock the crap out of that kid really good. It's not like he didn't deserve it. I mean, being a little shit. I mean, like, who comes up behind somebody and sucker punches them for no reason? Either BP4. But, you know, I defended myself. They got mad because I beat the kid up, defending myself. So they had to punish both of us. And I was like, okay, well, fair. But I should get less time. He should get more time because he was the one that was the aggressor. And he admitted it, he was the aggressor. And it's very obvious, you know, from the... I mean, we had cameras, for God's sakes, in our hallway. I mean, sure, they weren't the best cameras. They were probably grainy, whatever, because they were still coming out with these security cameras. But damn, the cameras were there. And they, you know, like they say, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, a video is worth 1,000,000 at least. And I mean, just... But my thing is, punishing the innocent is not going to help these kids grow up. It's not going to help these kids become better people. You're just putting fear. And that is why a lot of people don't call the cops when they see a crime or they witness a crime because, oh my God, if I rat these people out, I'm going to get in trouble. Well, that's what I was taught in middle school and high school. If I tell someone, I'm going to get in trouble. Okay. And you wonder why a bunch of unsolved mysteries, we have a bunch of unsolved cases.
Well, they want to put cameras. They want the city to put cameras up at the malls here, and so they can record all this. You know what things.
Your mall don't have cameras. My mall has cameras up the wazoo, dude.
Well, they want the city to put them up in the parking lots. Wow. Because they do a lot of street racing in the parking lots. And I don't know how I feel about that neither. I think it should be the mall owner. Because that's private property.
I agree. If it's considered, I mean, because by law, that's considered private property. And technically, since it's considered private property, the stop signs that are on the private property, you don't necessarily have to stop at. Those are just mere suggestions, at least in the state of Texas. I don't know what state.
Sorry.
Missouri. So in the state of Texas, that's considered a mere suggestion for private property to obey the stop signs and the signs that are there. You don't actually have to follow those signs because it's on private property. The only sign that you really have to worry about is a sign that says no trespassing, violators would be persecuted, or, you know, et cetera. Things of that nature.
Here's what they're fighting, though, about it. It may be private property, but it's open to the public. And it's the public safety that is at hand.
Something they're trying to argue for a loophole.
Well,
what's it like in my parking lot? They have those police units that they have these little police units that are stationed throughout the parking lot, and they have like their generators, but they have cameras attached to them, and they cover the whole parking lot. That's the police department going out there doing that. And I mean, you even have these guys in the watchtower. They have police watchtowers in the parking lot too. So, I mean, it's crazy like that society's gotten that bad that we had to have a practically a police headquarters or mini headquarters on a mall parking lot or in a mall parking lot, and all these cameras everywhere because people are breaking into cars, people committing crimes and stuff. But you know what? I promise you, the crime rate in those parking lots have gone down a lot since they installed all that stuff.
And I bet the mall is probably pretty active again, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty active. The only spots that I gotta admit that are bad that they do need to put cameras are under the bridges in the mall. Like that's where everybody gets practically everybody's told. You know, all the locals say, you know, you never go underneath the bridges in the mall because that's where they jump you because it's dark.
Oh, I
Can't
could
really
see
see anything
that.
under the bridge.
Yeah, I could see that. But
Yeah.
yeah, I'm kind of, like I said, I'm kind of on the line on which way to go as far as with the cameras. Uh-oh. What's BP doing? What about your wife, BP?
Baby, coming in with the damn comment. Just like I suggested my ex to go jump off the bridge, she didn't take the suggestion. Right. Yeah, BB. That's what I was talking about earlier. I was saying like back in like the 80s and 90s when somebody used the phrase go kill yourself, we were not saying literally go kill yourself. It was just to go piss off, leave me alone,
Right.
go away.
Oh, that is actually something I wanted to bring up earlier. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
So I've noticed, especially with a lot of the younger people, words no longer mean what they mean in the dictionary. They mean what their personal interpretation of it is.
Oh,
And
yeah.
because plus our psychic, it makes communicating with them really, really difficult.
I know, like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I tell this one kid, I go, no, look at the definition of this word. This is the definition of the word. You have no business creating a definition for a word. You have no power to create a definition for a word that already has a definition to it. Stop creating something that's not there. You're making some a mental problem in your head. You know, you're gonna drive yourself nuts making something that's not there there. It's like saying you see a ghost. It's like nobody else sees it. It's in your head.
Yeah, it's a whole different world out there now with the kids. Especially when you're talking to them, you have to watch everything you say, or
BB.
it's just.
Yeah, true. Go ahead.
I just threw it there. Gang signs. Yeah, she understood the gang signs, huh? Yeah.
You say west side, south side, north side, east side.
Yeah.
EP's a funny dude.
Oh, he's a
I'm
good guy.
assuming a dude.
Yeah, it is. He's a
Yeah,
good guy.
I've talked I've been in other podcast shows with BP. BP's hilarious. But yeah, Matt, like I wish we can go back to simpler times where people where men were men, women were women, men knew their place in the world, women knew their place in the world. There was no confusion, ands, ifs, buts about it. And you know, all these damn pronouns that don't make sense. Like somebody saying they're they and them, you know what, well, they and them are plural pronouns, not singular. And so if you look it up, it says it's plural, not singular.
Right, they.
Yeah, I just and like recently, I don't know if y'all saw this, but this was on the news. So this lady's son identifies as a cat. So she took her son, literally, I'm not lying, not making this up. She took her son to a veterinarian for a checkup. And the
Yeah.
veterinarian was like, I'm
Where was
sorry, there's
this at?
nothing I can do. He has human anatomy. He's a human, not a cat. And she's like, well, he identifies as a cat and he wants to be checked by a veterinarian, not by a human doctor. He's like, well, I'm not trained to take care of humans. I'm trained to actually take care of physical, real animals, not somebody with a mental disorder. I was like, that's funny. That's great response by that veterinarian.
Here is an uncomfortable truth for everybody. Those simpler times, those more stable times, they're not coming back.
True.
No matter what you do, enough of the population has gotten aboard the train of the current that we're never going to truly get any of that back. Even if we start to reverse things, it has become so normalized, it's over. The period before that, it's gone completely.
I think it'll get to a point. It's starting to get to that point. I can see it. We're cancel culture. Everybody's canceling themselves out. I mean, they're eventually going to cancel themselves out and wake up and be like, yeah, that was a dumb idea being cancel culture. We cancel everything. Then what the hell can we do? We're getting to that point already. We're I want to say maybe midway there, at least.
So, do you like history at all?
Oh, I love history and government and politics.
Okay, so here's a question for you. Have you noticed the parallels? Everybody likes to compare us to Rome, but there are certain key sociological parallels that are happening right now that happened right before Rome fell because of the safety, the security, and the sheer boredom of the citizens.
Sure, you can even go with biblical history with Sodom and Gomorrah. Look what happened to them.
That is actually a little bit different. So that was due to the corruption of the land, not necessarily the sociological practices of those cities.
Well, yeah, you're right. Even before that, because like you're saying, even if you look at, I'm trying to think of that civilization. What was that civilization?
Babylonian.
There you go. Babylonian, yeah. I mean, they did a lot of things social, economically, I guess, or socially, I guess you can say, that really killed themselves from the inside out. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I don't have to go and list things out. I'm pretty sure you know what they did.
So empires that have global control, and people always try to fight me on the semantics with the Babylonian having global control. It's like, yeah, Babylon didn't have global control as we know it now, but for the known world, that was considered global control. They get so powerful that the only way to take them down is from the inside, which always happens, and it always happens because the citizens start exploring things with the freedoms that they have from the safety and security and boredom of their day-to-day lives, that they quite literally just go insane and tear it down.
Right. It's like a chaos theory. Have you heard of chaos theory?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So part of chaos, because chaos theory expands into multiple things. So part of chaos theory, which I really do enjoy, which makes sense, it says if you allow one thing to be considered, that's considered evil, to be good, eventually you have to let everything else that you considered evil to be good, and a society or a civilization will tear itself from the inside out because of that.
Yeah. Once you have lines drawn in the sand, you cannot cross them. Because once you cross them, every other line you have drawn in the sand is now crossable. And it doesn't matter what you're applying to.
Right, right. And I tell people, that's why I tell people, you know, in this world, one cannot say or have or create a gray line. Because once you create a gray line, you know, then you start exploring, you just like, you know, like you were saying about the Babylonians, you start exploring into things and dabbing into things that you're not supposed to be doing. And you know damn well, morally and ethically, it's not right. But you want to play with it because you get into the whole concept of, if I can do it, I can do it. If I wasn't meant to do it, I wouldn't be able to do it. But if I can do it, I can do it. But then people forget that the thought of, just because I can do it doesn't make it right, or doesn't mean I should do it because it doesn't make it right.
They forget so about that. That is, yeah. And honestly, the biggest tell that any superpower is going to collapse is the fall away from religion. Now, depending right. on civilization, depends on the religion. For example, the Babylonians, I don't remember what their religion was. I think it might have been Sumerian, but before it
fell, they were pagans, right? Or they're poly?
It would have been polytheistic, which is Sumerian.
Yeah.
But they had a great falling away from the religion that predicated, I think it was less than 100 years before Babylon fell from the inside. Same thing happened with Rome. Once there was a great falling away from religion, Rome actually split in two. Mm-hmm. So the reason it split into two was basically mostly over religion. There were a lot of other factors, but one side of the Roman Empire became even more religious, while the other side fell into complete chaos, anarchy, and collapse. That was the side that mm-hmm. basically threw religion out. And one of the reasons why that's such an important marker is because as humans, right, you're human, I'm human, you tell me something is wrong and I don't believe it because who are you? You're just another man. You're not better than me. You're not worse than me. So why do you get to dictate how I do things? So I know we have like hardcore governments these days that have the ultimate say in dictation, but back in the day, religion was so important because all those rules and regulations came from a divine power. It right. came from something greater than human, and that's what gave it the authority to have the law.
See, I'm glad you're saying that, because if you think about it, look what happened with the British Empire. So back in the old days, you know, the church, the Catholic Church was so powerful. They had more power than the king, but the king got jealous and started, because the kings, the monarchy, owed money to the church. So that's how powerful the church was. The you know, Christianity was back then, you know. So it got to the point where the king turned around with the Pope and cut a deal with the Pope to wash their hands of this debt. But what the Pope didn't realize was that the king was taking the power back and getting the people back on his side, because the people were leaving the king. They were becoming Christians. They were fleeing their homeland just to live better elsewhere.
Are you talking about King Philip or King George? Because they both built the popes.
Yes. Well, technically both, I guess you can say.
Philip was the one that started basically the Inquisition. George is the one that started the Holy Church of England, which is like an offshoot. Catholicism.
Right. Which one was it that refresh my memory? Which one was it that cut a deal with the Pope that actually they ran to get the original Knights Templar and practically that did was, a witch hunt?
Yeah, that was Philip IV. That was the Inquisition. That's why Friday the 13th was unlucky, because overnight they managed to basically wipe out the entire Knights Templar order.
And yeah, you're right. And it was sad because those were actually innocent men. They were actually preaching the word of God, doing what they were originally told to and what they started with the Pope. But they were betrayed. And a lot of people think, you know, the Knights Templar, they're a bad group of people. So if you look at the original one, they were the good ones. They were the ones who were ministering out the word of God out. They were the ones who started if it wasn't for the church, the bank system would not exist, because the church was the one who started the original banking system.
So basically 9 French knights during the last crusade mm-hmm. decided that instead of fighting the Muslims for the Holy Land, they would just offer their services to protect people on their journey to the homeland of Jerusalem or the holy city of Jerusalem, depending on who the clientele was. Mm-hmm. And they didn't care much on it. They were so good at it that people wanted to hire them for other things. They accrued massive amounts of wealth, but their biggest clients were the people who had money and wanted the money safely transferred. Mm-hmm. That's where the original idea of banking came in. Everybody likes to say Rothschild and all that. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a huge part of banking history. It really started with the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell I was telling people, you know, like you're saying, once you know religion falls, you know, the country or the civilization goes to hell, you know.
Yeah, Go ahead. It's whatever the major religion of the country is, because every single country, in some form or fashion, takes after a religion for how it is structured and how the laws are made. For example, like here in America, it is basically a very Christian structuring. Everything's Christian inspired. Now, you got all these people trying to claim that it's not, and most of the founding fathers are atheists, and they're going on and on. It's like, yeah. But if you look at structuring government, if you look at the structuring of everything in this country, that's Christian.
Mm-hmm. Our basic form of government is based off of Christianity.
Yeah, our basic form of government. So
you know, like the Romans, that was based off of their pantheology for their religion. Their form of government, all of that, was very heavily influenced by the religion. And once people started pulling away from the religion, all those lines that were in the sand from the religion on the laws are gone now. Everything's free game. That's not sustainable for civilization to last.
Yeah. And BP, you got a point. I mean, our presidency, other way, I have to say this. Our presidency here in the United States is not what it used to be. You know, the men who used to run this country were smart men. They strategized. They knew what they're doing. Recently, you know, they started to become puppets. You know, it's just, it's very obvious, you know, they're not the ones pulling the strings, or they're, lack for a better word, you know, being bent over by another group of people being taught what to do. And, you know, they said, yeah, I know we have the executive, legislative branch and all that crap. I know how that works. But I'm just saying in general, you know, a president who doesn't put his big boy pants on, a president pants on, and starts running the country like he should, is a country that's going to fail. And I hate to say it, but, you know, look at our gas prices. Look at our grocery prices just went down recently. But, I mean, before that, it was high. Yeah, I mean, how many people?
Yeah, the only reason they're down right now is because it's an election year.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? What I tell people, what's funny is that, you know, you got people who live off the government are literally making YouTube videos. And you can look this up. I'm not joking. This one girl made a video. She goes, why in God's name do I want to get a job, or do I need to get a job, when all I got to do is live off the government and the taxpayers? She says, I'll check this out. Let me break this to you. If I have this many kids, I get this much money from the government. And you know what? Guess what? I don't have to use all that money for food, like, you know, to spend it all on food. Even though it is for food, I can turn around and sell that food stamps and stuff to another person, get that money, and I can use that shit on whatever I want. And this girl was like breaking things down, how you can practically, is what she was just scamming the system and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. Like, if our government doesn't like step in and review these videos and do something to stop, because governmental help was never a permanent thing. It was created for a temporary means to help people get back on their feet. It wasn't until years later, after it was created, that people started taking advantage of it. And they were, I mean, horribly taking advantage of it, to the point where us, the taxpayers who are paying for these programs to exist, you know, it's coming out of our pockets and it's hurting us, and it's not even hurting them, the ones who are not working. I mean, they're benefiting. We're not benefiting at all. They're the ones who are gaining the biggest benefit of this, and we're the ones getting punished because we're the ones who are actually being productive citizens, you know, getting a job and being a normal person. And why these people, and granted, I'm not talking about the ones who are disabled, the ones who can't work, etc. I'm excluding them. They have an excuse. You know, I'm talking about the ones who are able-bodied, who have no mental issues, nothing wrong with them. They are capable of getting a job, getting educated and getting a job, but they just absolutely refuse to do it because our government created a system that allows them to be lazy and take advantage of the taxpayers every day.
There's a lot of those people now.
Oh, yeah. And you know what really pisses me off, though, is that I have met an attorney and a doctor who are on food stamps. And the reason why they get away with it, why they're on food stamps, even though that they're an attorney and doctor and they make so much money a year, is because they found a way, a loophole, to say that all their money goes to their businesses. It's business money. It's not personal money. So the government says, oh, okay, well, you're only bringing this much home, so you're allowed to get food stamps. You're allowed to get government help, which is bullshit. I'm like, I'm sorry, but, you know, you need to catch these people committing fraud, because that's what they're doing. They're committing fraud and stealing money from people who actually need the governmental assistance, not these bastards who are taking advantage of it.
Well, I blame the government. Government's writing on those. They need to redo it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The government, the way the government set the food stamps and governmental help, they set it up so loosely that you know, it's, I hate to say it, but it's open to interpretation. And if you can prove a point why you need governments or help, or you can show how you need it or why you need it, you automatically get government help. And some people say, well, not automatically, but yeah, you know, eventually you'll get that help.
Oh, yeah. And then the people that, some of the people that really need it, they have to go forever trying to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Loops and loops. Constantly.
I was all for it when they said that they were going to do random drug tests on all these people. I was like, hell yes. Do the drug test, because if they can afford drugs, all those drugs, they can afford groceries. I'm sorry. But, I mean, there's no excuse for you to be on drugs and food stamps. It's like, it's either one or the other, buddy. You can't have your drugs and have free food off the taxpayers.
Well, don't move to Colorado, because they'll give you homeless everything here. They'll give you your drugs and everything.
Oh, I believe it. I saw some report about that. They're literally like hand feeding the homeless or the drug addicts their drugs. I'm like, you're not helping these people. You're putting these people in such a pit hole that, you know, remember, you literally are killing these people by giving them their drugs.
No, they got places here where you can get your drugs and they'll. And the reason is that way they can watch you, supposedly.
Yeah. It monitors, they won't OD.
Yep, they sure do.
Yeah.
The city of Aurora just bought a big hotel up there in Aurora, Denver area. And
pretty much BP. Yeah. It's just insane, guys. I mean, what happened to our country when we had our borders secured? What happened to when things were for the people, by the people, not he who has the most money controls the country?
We fell asleep at the wheel is what happened.
Mm-hmm. And this electoral college, that is the most biggest bullshit ever in our government. Because if you look at it, Al Gore, this is an example. I'll give you two examples. Al Gore won the popular vote in the United States. But what did the Electoral College do? They voted for fucking Bush, and Bush got it. Instead of listening to the people who they wanted, they gave it to Bush. Same thing with Hillary Clinton. When Hillary Clinton went against Trump, Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote, they said. And there was proof that she won the popular vote. But what did the Electoral College do? Went with Trump. It's like, come on. That's like, what is the point of us voting if you're going to go around our backs and not give us what we want?
Do you know what the point of the Electoral College is?
Refresh my memory, because I forgot. It's been a while since I've actually delved into the Electoral College.
So at the beginning of the founding of the country, education is not what it is now. Mm-hmm. Access of information is not what it is now. It's probably something that does need to be revisited, but if you really think about it, it made a lot of sense when it was put in place, because the average person is not going to know enough. They're not going to have enough information available to them to be able to vote for such a high position. Locally, yes, they can vote for local because it's local. They have all the information. They know enough about all the local people to make a good decision. However, at the federal level, like the president, your average person would not have the information, they would not have the education to make a good decision. So the people that they elected in, it was their job to get that information. It was their job to basically make the decision of, okay, who are we voting in above us, because I'm representing Bob and Tony. Neither of these guys have the time or the resources to really know anything about who's running. So my job is to go to DC, find out who's running, find out all the information about them, and make a decision that'll benefit both Bob and Tony, because they are my constituents. And if I mess up, I'm not going to get elected next year.
And let me ask her, do y'all agree with this statement or disagree, and tell me why if you disagree? So if you look at it now, there is no Democrat Party. They're all liberals. They are falsely going under the name Democrat, just to get Democrat vote. They're all liberals. Republican Party is comprised of Republicans and former Democrats that are tired of this liberal crap, so they joined the Republicans.
I would disagree with that.
You would? Okay, why?
So, something I noticed, especially because I tend to be neutral on such things, is the echo chamber that everybody on the left likes to claim the right lives in, and everybody on the right likes to claim the left lives in. Mm-hmm. Both sides live in an echo chamber. Not only that, but you have a small percent of both parties are what I guess you would refer to as extremists. They're the loudest voices.
Yeah.
Representative of the majority of said party. Like, for example, people like Kamala Harris, AOC, they are the extremists, loudest voices on the left. So that's what everybody associates with the left, even though that's not really the case. Whereas on the flip side, you have like Trump and who's another one that's not popular, Carlson, right? Mm. Even though he's not a politician, but the point still stands, they'd be considered the extreme on the right. But because they have the loudest voices, everybody thinks that everybody on the right is like that. Most of your people, if you go out and talk to them, tend to fall somewhere in the middle, where they're mostly on the right and agree with the left on some things, or mostly on the left and agree with the right on some things as far as policy, things like that. Right. But because they're not the loudest voices, they're not the most extreme, because attention doesn't get drawn to them, it leads to a further division between the left and right because, oh, well, I'm a Democrat and I see all these people that are the front runners in the face of the Republicans, and they seem really extreme and crazy, and everybody on the Democratic side agree that that's kind of nuts. So we're going to disassociate with them, and then it's the same thing. If you're on the Republican side, you see the crazy extremes on the Democrat side, and you're like, yeah, that we're good. We're just going to stay back here. And it just creates more and more division in that sense.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason why I said that was because I wanted to hear someone like you, you know, clarify or say, you know, say what you said, you know, because that's correct. But I also want to add to that there is some Democrats, and we can't lie to ourselves. We can't beat around the bush. You know, there are some Democrats whose supposed Democrat views are Democrat, but they're really liberal. And they're the ones who are, like you say, or like you were saying, are extremists. They're the ones who, you know, scream and kick and shout. And these are the ones that are, these are the people that are dangerous in the government. They have no business being in a government, have no business being the leaders of any group, because they're the ones, like back in the old days where you had, you know, when you had the sheriff running the towns, you had these random town person start shouting and screaming and yelling and saying, no, this is how I'm going to run this town. You're no longer the sheriff. I'm the sheriff. They're trying to boss and take over the town from the sheriff, and the sheriff's just looking at him like, no, you're crazy. But there's a group of people that are idiots that believe them, and they have a little mob going on in the town, and they start screwing crap up, and then it just takes a moment to where that sheriff and his deputies and people who were volunteer work with the sheriff's deputies to get the town back in order, you know. And that's what's happening with our government. You know, you got the actual people who are there to make a difference, to make it better, and mix with these people who are just screaming and shouting and bullshit, who are not helping the country. They're hurting their country.
Yeah, but the same could be said for the right side of the aisle, too.
Right, that's a problem. Right. I was going to say the same thing goes to the Republicans, the independent, the liberals, the whatever other parties that there are. I mean, there's ridiculously amount of parties now, which makes no sense to me because, you know, the only two parties that ever get heard are the Republican and Democrat parties, and we never really hear anything about the other parties, just every so often what the media wants us to hear about them. And normally what the media wants us to hear is something negative about those parties, and nothing positive what they plan on doing.
That's because positive news doesn't sell. People forget, right? New organizations are businesses at the end of the day, and what sells the best.
Fearmongering. People, you want a great example of that? Watch a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal called Night Stalker. That is the greatest example of how bad news or bad news slash bad things that happen sells more than the good news.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if y'all heard of that movie or seen that movie, but I suggest y'all watch that movie because it's a very good, accurate depiction of media.
What's it called?
Night Stalker.
Night Stalker. I'll have to look it up and see who's in it.
It's Jake Gyllenhaal that's in it. He's the main actor. He's phenomenal in that movie. I'm surprised he didn't win an Oscar for that performance. I'm surprised he was. I don't even think he was nominated. Now that I think about it, which is kind of shocking.
Because the film industry, the news industry, they're all filed under entertainment. They're all in bed together.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, definitely. You know, and I'm actually proud of some of these child stars that are finally speaking out against the companies that they work for all the abuse they did to them as kids growing up on those shows and stuff. I'm so proud of these kids or young adults now that are finally speaking out against that, like what they really went through. Because, you know, as kids, we see them like, oh man, they're so lucky. They're on TV, they're actors and all this stuff. We only see one side of it. We don't see the dark side of what they went through. And now they're finally putting a light on that dark side and showing what the hell like the entertainment business is really about. And I tell people this stems all the way back to the old days when Hollywood used to say Hollywoodland instead of just Hollywood. You know, with the whole like George Reeves being Superman and stuff. That man never committed suicide. There was no way in hell that man committed suicide. And there's speculations. I'm not sure how much this is true, but according to what some people were saying at that part that were at that party, they were saying that he was getting ready to expose Hollywood, a secret in Hollywood. And he threw this big lavish party. And some time in the middle of that party, he went upstairs and killed himself, which makes no sense because A, who the hell does that? Who throws a party and in the middle of the party sneaks out to kill himself? And B, the way the body was put on the floor, or the way the body was positioned, the way the gun was positioned, the way the room was set, was not a suicide. That was a murder, and it was set to emulate or try to emulate or simulate a suicide.
Who was this?
This was George Reeves. He was the actor who originally played Superman, the very first Superman. He was the first Superman live-action actor on TV. This dude was, his case is very famous, right up there with the Black Dahlia's case.
Yeah, they should have taken notes from the Clintons on how to appropriately do that kind of stuff. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
Oh, shit.
That's funny. That's true. Hey, have you ever heard there? You got a point. It's there. It's funny. And like, if you look, I forgot who this gentleman is, but y'all can look this up on YouTube. So he has these videos where he goes over like all the people that were involved with the Clintons that were about to expose the Clintons. They were all mysteriously died in certain mysterious accidents.
Gone wrong or suicides. And some of the suicides absolutely ridiculous.
Even other politicians besides the Clintons had other people silence, according to this guy with his evidence that he says he has and stuff. I mean, which is interesting stuff. I mean, it makes sense if you look at it in that perspective. So I won't deny it. I mean, it's there.
Here's the thing, though, with the Clinton body count, the deaths are so absurdly ridiculous in their rulings that you know that it's more of a message and a statement than anything else. My top three favorite ones from that list, there's a guy who shot himself in the back of the head twice. Like, I don't know how you do that, but apparently he committed suicide by doing that. There's a guy who cut his own head off with a machete. Again, that should be physically impossible. How do you do
before he gets halfway?
Yeah, and then there's the third guy. Actually, the fourth one that just got added is pretty absurd too. But the third guy shot himself in the chest and the back with two different guns, one in each hand, and committed suicide that way. Like, are you serious? Who's ruling these suicides should be fired? But again, they get away with it.
I will say this, the one who shot himself in the back of the head twice, you know, it is possible for him to get shot twice, but not by himself. I can see him shooting himself once. It depends on the angle where shot, and if he fell backwards, and if the gun fell out of his hand, did the gun go off a second time by accident and shot him? That's the only way I can see that happening, but that's like one out of a million, or billion, should I say.
And the newest one that got added to the list was that reporter that first hung himself from a tree, pulled out a shotgun, shot himself in the chest, threw it 100 meters away down a ravine. The shotgun. It's like, serious right now?
Yeah. I mean, so the blast itself and the shotgun, they will automatically let go of that gun.
I don't know if you've ever been hanging by your neck for any reason at all, but you don't exactly have good motor function when that happens.
That too. I was just going to say that too. I mean, the way I see it, if that was possible for him to shoot himself, like the instant that he hung himself, I mean, you still have slight motor skills in the first few seconds, but he has to be very fast to do it.
But then shooting himself in the chest and then throwing the shotgun himself.
That's not possible. Yeah.
100 yards down into a ravine. Are you serious?
Right. That's not possible. That's why I was saying that even if he was able to get the shot off, that gun would instantly, you know, fall out of his hand. It would not go 100 yards. I guarantee you that.
No. I don't know. I'm going to have to get that list.
Was the reporter Superman?
Nick, I can barely hear you again.
Yeah, same here.
I said I'm going to have to get that list.
Did you hear that? You should.
It's a very interesting list.
Especially with the ways people died. It's like...
Who was the one that was very obvious that it wasn't suicide or accident was the one that was in the airplane. Like, what are the odds?
I'm probably on it. That's why I want it.
And like, seriously, like, what are the odds of that this person gets on an airplane, so happens that the airplane that he gets out of all the airplanes that this person's been on his entire career or life, this one airplane happens to be the one that goes down, and on his side of the plane, those people, him and the people that were on that side did not survive, but the other people on the other side of the plane survived. I can't remember the gentleman's name. But, I mean, there's some survivors on that crash, but the odds of that happening, I was like, no.
I don't know what one you're
talking. It was right after takeoff, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it. Kind of like what happened to that singer, Aaliyah. That's another interesting story, too, with Aaliyah.
I don't know.
You know, Epstein is also on the Clinton list.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it's called, the Clinton list?
Yeah, the Clinton body count is what it's called.
There's every person on his side playing.
Probably. But, yeah, there's a lot of, and the thing that's really weird about it is anybody who looks into it ends up on the list. So it's like, what do you do? Because authorities are not doing anything and they're coming up with these ridiculous explanations for a lot of these deaths. And it's like, okay, that's obviously a statement of some kind of, if you come after us, this will happen to you. So,
JFK, like the whole thing with JFK and his brother, Robert Kennedy, you know, a lot of people theorize, and which makes sense, was because JFK was cleaning house. He was getting rid of a lot of corrupt people. He was trying to set things straight, trying to set the country for the people, by the people kind of president. He was a very beloved president. People loved him. He was great. But when he started cleaning house, that's when things started doing a turn for the worse. And unfortunately, he was assassinated. And when his younger brother tried to take the helm and run for president, unfortunately, he was assassinated as well. And what?
His son.
Oh, yes, that's right. The son, too. Yeah.
The plane crash that he committed suicide with, where none of the facts add up. It's like, right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it's government and politics is a very interesting black hole, I guess you can say, because once you travel down that black hole, you know, it's either you play ball or, you know, you're out.
Was Epstein on the list?
What's up?
I asked, was Epstein on that list?
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yeah, because, you know, he committed suicide by hanging, but fractured his neck and crushed his windpipe in relation to being choked from the rear. Both guards who were on duty just happened to fall asleep, and the camera just happened to go off when he decided to hang himself. Like, yeah, there's too many conveniences.
See, I wonder if Trump's on that list.
No, Trump don't.
Trump's not.
You have to be dead. Yeah, you have to be dead.
On Epstein's list?
No, the Clinton body count.
Oh, the Clinton list.
He didn't put himself all hanging.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, I've heard that Trump's name was on Epstein's list. He had the Clintons.
One of the problems with the Epstein list is Epstein did it pretty smart, where he would conduct all of his business on the island for both his legitimate business and his child ring business. So it's impossible to know who was there for what. And I think it was done that way on purpose in case he ever got exposed or caught, none of the people he was servicing could go down. Because, again, just the amount of business transactions that he had on that island that were legitimate make it impossible to tell who was there for what.
So now,
like, even Stephen Hawking went to his island.
Wow. So now, do you agree that there's a thing that they want to get done? Like, so people who own private islands, that the government wants to step in and monitor the islands every so often, surprise visits. The government goes in and monitors islands, see what's going on the islands, and making sure that nothing illegal is going on. Do you agree with that? That the government has the ability to do that to private islands?
That sounds more like the government wants to make sure that if there's something taxable, that they're getting their due share.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's fair. I'm paying taxes. Why shouldn't they?
Exactly, right? So my thing too, also I tell people, is it fair that the lower class and the middle class pay $1 on taxes, while the 1%, the upper class, only pay 25 cents on their taxes? You know, to me, that's not fair. Everybody should be paying an equal amount, whether we all pay a quarter or we all pay $1, as an example. You know, nobody should be paying less than anybody else. We should all be.
That goes back to your point on loopholes with the welfare system.
Right. I was just gonna get to that too, with the loopholes, and then with the loopholes, we need to start closing those loopholes, because, you know, one person can't benefit while the other ones can't, because we don't have the means or the money to benefit. It's bullshit.
Well,
we all know it's a bullshit loophole.
You know what? If you work your butt off, or even if it was handed to you and you did everything right and you know, make some good money, why should you be punished more than someone that sat at home all day?
And I get that point. I honestly do get that point. But my thing goes back to like what we were talking about, how like the Romans, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, everybody, you know, if you look at it, the Romans, you know, the upper class in Romans weren't paying their due shares. They were putting all the pain and suffering on the working class. And what happened, you know, even the upper class who were tired of the tyrannical system that was getting run, they did something. But they assassinated Julius Caesar, for God's sakes. They got tired.
Well, that's for different reasons.
Yeah, it also had to go to the fact that Caesar wanted to marry what's her name? And Egypt wanted to combine the powers together, which would have been very scary.
Yeah, that was Cleopatra. Yeah, they carved his heart out on the steps of the Senate building, and it wasn't just for that. It was several factors, but that's the most notable one because they disagreed with what he was doing on that. And there was also a lot of political stuff that was involved with that, too. And then it just turns out Mark Anthony – no, not Mark Anthony. I cannot remember his name. One of Caesar's generals took over basically betting Cleopatra, and she convinces him to start militarizing against the government.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, there were so many reasons why Julius Caesar was killed, but the main one that everybody remembers or recalls was the fact that he was trying to marry Cleopatra to join the Egyptians and the Romans together to make one giant empire. And just imagine those two empires got together, they would have probably taken over the whole world by then. Because those were two of the most powerful empires in the world at the time.
It would have only lasted so long, because again, we go back to the point of the falling away of the religion. Plus, if you try to merge two empires that have two completely different religious structures, that's not going to last.
Right.
No, BP, not the singer. I think his name was something Anthony. I don't know. The first name that popped in my head was Mark Anthony. No, that's the singer. The general was. Say what?
I'm just letting you know you got the 2-minute warning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the general, I think his name was something Anthony. But, yeah, he was also one of the conspirators to carving out Caesar's heart, which is really weird because he took over betting Cleopatra.
Right, yeah. And their politics were actually pretty different. If you look look at it. I think he was more of a balance, but Caesar was more monarchy, all about me.
Well, most of the Caesars were.
Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, like, all this goes back to what I was saying, you know, about how things have to be balanced. And I get people don't want to be punished for just because they make more money or just because they have more money. It's not about punishing them. They keep seeing it as a punishment. It's not a punishment. It's about doing your due part of balancing out the country. Because again, you have an unbalanced country. I promise you, I mean, this has been repeated over and over and over in history. And God knows why countries haven't learned from it. You know, you're going to have a rise against the government. There's going to be a fall within. It's never going to be coming from the outside. It's going to come from the inside until there's a balance.
Yep.
Very good talk. I agree with you, Doc. Great show.
Nick B.
Great show. Are we all going to start up the show again, or is that it for tonight?
Hey, welcome to We Need to Talk with Nick B. I'd like to thank Bracken's Firearms. For all your firearms and shooting needs, give them a call. 719-465-8320. Also like to thank 5280 Creative Company. Contact them for all your custom handmade items, cups, keychains, tote bags, and much, much more. Check them out at 5280creativeco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off. Also like to thank Kiss My Fist. They have the hardest hitting edibles on the planet. Go to Kiss My Fist, medco.com. Use code PODCAST and receive 20% off.